recent survey shows that most parents think they should teach their kids financial literacy. The good news is that many are actually doing it. I'm Rob West. Still, other parents may not know how to teach their kids financial responsibility. Ron Blue joins us today to discuss how he and his wife Judy did it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, if you're new to the program, you may not know that our guest, Ron Blue, is the co-founder of Kingdom Advisors and the author of many books on biblical personal finance. Ron, always great to have you with us.
As always, Rob, I enjoy it. So thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Well, Ron, the survey I mentioned was done for the Bank of Oklahoma Financial, and it shows that 85% of parents think they should teach their kids financial responsibility and that money doesn't grow on trees. About the same percentage said kids should be learning this in school, but about a third said that isn't happening. So it's encouraging that 65% said they're actively teaching money management to their kids, but you haven't always observed this, have you?
No, I really haven't. I'm kind of surprised at these numbers because it has become more and more difficult to teach your children about money as we enter the credit cards culture. You know, I was asked one time by a father, he said, how do you teach your kids to manage money? And my response was, well, more is caught than taught.
Yeah.
And you learn to manage money by managing money.
Yes.
So I think that parents have good intention, but they may not have the process and the encouragement to do it in such a way that you can teach kids that money doesn't grow on trees. But it is the parents' responsibility, really, first of all.
No doubt. Ron, let's talk about two big phases of raising children to be future adults in this area of financial management. How did you and Judy do it with elementary kids, earning, saving, and giving? And then how did you do it as high schoolers?
Well, we were fortunate from this standpoint in that our kids grew up at a time when cash was used.
Yeah.
So we taught our kids the youngest beginning at age eight, through an envelope system where they would have an envelope for giving, an envelope for saving, an envelope for spending, and an envelope for giving, you know, within the family, gifts and so forth, and an envelope for clothes. Mm. So we were able to do that. And then when they entered high school, we began to let them experience credit cards to some extent, and began teaching about credit cards and how to use credit cards responsibly. And I remember when our oldest went to college, it was the first time I had seen credit card companies on a campus, selling the credit cards. Because when I went to school, if you had a credit card, you were in trouble.
Yes.
But you have to teach them early, one, that there's a limited supply of money, and secondly, when they get into high school, you've got to teach them how to manage life now in a digital society. Mm. So, you know, like the app that you've got could be used to teach children how to budget.
Yeah.
And how to plan a bit. Most parents that I've talked to use a debit card. Mm. And they may have, you know, more than one debit card for certain types of expenses. And the parents put the money in the account each month, a certain amount. And that's probably the way to teach them about credit is the use of debit cards because they're paid, you know, as they're used.
Mm.
So that would be my thoughts right now if I were talking to a parent that I know my kids are using with their kids or our grandkids debit cards for the most part to manage money. And having a savings account.
Yeah, very good. Well, just to summarize, that was great counsel. More is caught than taught. Use the envelope system when they're young. Give, save, spend, plus clothes and gifts for family. And then beyond that, get them involved with a debit card in building their own budget, perhaps using the FaithFi app, which you can download at faithfi.com. Ron, always practical, always rooted in biblical truth. Thanks for sharing with us today.
You bet. Enjoyed it. Thank you, Rob.
All right. That's Ron Blue, author and teacher and co-founder founder of Kingdom Advisors. Back with your questions after this, 800-525-7000. And if you prefer not to call, keep in mind, you can always send us an email at askrob@faithfi.com. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back after this break.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There are few pains worse than that of betrayal, especially in a marriage. The vicious cycle of pain and devastation from adultery can shatter a family. So it's no surprise the Lord included it in the Ten Commandments. As Exodus 20:14 says, "You shall not commit adultery." But I think there's another reason it was included, and that's because marriage is meant to image the love of Christ and His church. He created marriage to show the kind of love we were created for in relationship to Him. And unlike the failures of human marriages, which are so common, Jesus is the faithful husband who will never leave and will never betray His bride. You'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time here in just a moment to begin taking your calls and questions. That number, 800-525-7000. I'll say that again, 800-525-7000. Getting ahead of myself today. Here on the program each day, we want to invite you into the conversation. We're grateful when you share your questions, when you give testimony to God's faithfulness in your life and tell us how He's been at work. And together, we can find God's heart through the Scriptures as it relates to our role as stewards in managing God's money. It's important. We want to get it right. We're going to give an account someday for how we've managed the resources that belong to the Lord that He's entrusted to us. And when we do that together, I think, there's wisdom in counsel, the counsel of many. And so that's part of what we're trying to do here each day on this program. That number with your financial questions today, again, is 800-525-7000. You can call right right now. We'll dive into those questions in just a moment. First, in the news today, PayScale.com has put out its listing of the 10 highest paying college majors just in time for the fall semester. Here's the list of starting salaries, and I'll give you the highest and lowest first. Electrical engineering and computer science degree holders will average around $128,500 to start. That's on the upper end. At the lower end is building science majors at $71,000. And sprinkled in between them are petroleum engineers, operations research and industrial engineering, interaction design, applied economics and management, actuarial mathematics. That's how we get actuarial tables that are the basis for annuities and life insurance policies. Optical science and engineering and quantitative economics. Now, I suspect at least half of those you've probably never heard of. I haven't either, but they are where I guess the economy is headed in the future. They're not in any particular order for starting salary. Now, you may have noticed that all of these majors are technical in nature. It's what's known as the STEM group. That's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. If you're heading off to college and you have an aptitude for those things, I would say you should check out those majors that we mentioned. Remember, we always advise you to choose a major that gives you the skills employers are willing to pay you for, especially if you have to borrow for education, which I would try to avoid if at all possible. Paying back student debt is a lot easier with a job that pays at least in proportion to what it is you're ultimately going to borrow. But don't just assume that you're going to borrow. Here's the key. Let's prepare well in advance for college, which means saving early. And if we've missed that, at least really as students, working hard during those high school years, perhaps looking for dual enrollment opportunities, AP classes, if they suit you, so you can be best prepared to not only enter perhaps with some credits already underway, but also improving your ability to access scholarships and grants. Then working perhaps during college and maybe not working a full or part-time job, but perhaps it's something like getting an on-campus job, maybe being a resident assistant to cover room and board. Perhaps it's working in the summer. You know, there are creative ways, if we don't just accept the fact that we're going to borrow, that perhaps we can have the ability to earn some money to contribute toward college and just reduce that overall bill, even if there's not the resources there that have been saved in advance. So hopefully that's helpful to you as you're thinking about starting a new year, a new semester in as a college student. Obviously, these college, the price of admission continues to tick up. I had shared just a couple of weeks ago that we now have the first four schools where their sticker price, room and board, tuition, fees, in excess of $90,000 per year. And they think by 2026, we'll have at least some schools in the six figures. Amazing. And I'm not sure that there's a degree on the planet that's worth that. But nevertheless, it is what it is. All right, let's take your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to begin in Texas. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I was calling because a lady that does not know my husband contacted him through WhatsApp. She said she saw his profile picture and that he looked trustworthy. She says she's in the military working overseas and that her company is paying her $16 million in cash. And she sent a picture of the cash and she immediately started professing love. He talks with broken English. She says that she has a kid here and she just needs him to get the cash and hold it for her and that she wants him to pay the fee for customs. And so she had somebody contact him and he paid and then they asked him for more. And then once he told me about it, I thought it was a scam. And so he blocked her and she's been very persistent. So she's started text messaging him and asking, why did you block me? Did you take my money? And then he blocked her free text message and then she'll send him a message from another number. Mm. And so I'm just trying to get, and I Googled this and I saw a scam like this and she meets several of the red flags, like six or seven of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know if this is for sure is a scam?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this has all the makings of a scam, Sarah. I mean, there's like four or five things that you just said that's like, yep, that's a, I mean, if we just had one of those, I'd say it's a scam. The fact that you have like four or five of them going on here, you know, is a telltale sign that this is absolutely a scam, and the persistence of following up. So I think the next step is just where to report this, because clearly, you know, this, she needs to be reported, and perhaps, you know, I think blocking is absolutely the right move. I realize you said that she's finding other methods to continue to, you know, persist in reaching out. I mean, the first place I would go would be the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. You can go to reportfraud.ftc.gov. That's reportfraud.ftc.gov. You can also go to the, there's a scam reporter at usa.gov. If you just type in usa.gov into a search engine, report scams, you'll find a place to report all kinds of scams. And when you get into the scam reporter on that website, it'll ask you, you know, what kind of scam it is. Is it banking? Is it housing? Is it identity theft? Is it an imposter, which is what you're talking about, someone claiming to be someone they're not, or you know, catfishing scam, which is a romance kind of related scam. I mean, there's different types of scams. All of those can be reported at USA.gov, and you can provide whatever information you have. But I would say just cease all contact at this point. Don't reply, don't respond, no matter what this person, whether it's a he or a she, no matter what they say, you know, I wouldn't allow them to invoke any kind of response on your behalf. Just cut off all communication where possible. And as they continue to find other channels, I'd cut those off as well.
Okay. Well, like we're in debt right now, so this is really captivated him, and so he keeps saying, well, what if it's real? He's wondering, why does she, if he's blocked her, it's letting her know he's onto her, why does she keep trying to contact him?
Well, she's just, see, any kind of response that's given lets them know there's a chance they can talk you into taking action. And so they just continue to prey on people that respond. If they don't get a response initially, they'll move on to the next person. But any kind of response invokes a desire to continue to, you know, work the opportunity to get you to say, okay, I'll do it. Let's, you know, where do I go from here? So just stay away and stop communication. Hang on the line. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Lines are open. We're ready for you today. Your questions on anything financial, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. I had the chance to visit with Sarah a bit more off the air. We had a chance to pray together. And, you know, she is just wondering, why is this person persisting? Why are they continuing to contact us? And, you know, one of the things I shared with her is anytime they can invoke a response on your part, these scammers, they know there's a chance. They just want to get you talking, and they're going to continue to prey on either your desire to benefit financially because maybe you're in a hardship, or on your desire to be helpful and help a person who's in a bind. Anytime they can get you communicating, they know there's a chance, and they're not going to slow down. The only way you're going to get them to stop is if you stop communicating, cut them off, block them. No matter what they say, there is no response. And then they're going to come to the conclusion, well, this person is no longer communicating, so I'm going to move on to the next person. And that really is the key when you get into these situations. Also, if you have a loved one, whether it's a spouse or maybe an adult child or maybe an elderly parent or grandparent who you believe is in a situation like this, finding examples online from trusted sources about similar scams that they're facing will help them to realize, oh, okay, so yeah, I'm seeing exactly those words, or yes, that's the same concept that was presented to me through this scam, so maybe it is really a scam. I think seeing that, you know, on the FTC's website, or seeing that, you know, on a trusted news site, and realizing that that's a known and common scam could help that loved one finally appreciate the fact that, okay, I guess this really isn't real and I need to let this go. It's so important that you look for kind of these telltale signs and identify them for what they are and help those that you care about, you know, get past them and not respond to them, because it can create all kinds of problems if they are able to assume your identity, or certainly if they get you to send them money or gift cards or anything like that. So just be on your guard there. We appreciate Sarah's call today. All right, let's head back to the phones. By the way, we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. Hi, Phyllis. Thanks for calling from Florida. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Hi. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I've listened before, but I've always been driving when you're discussing reverse mortgages with other callers. And you usually throw in, that would be the one I would prefer, or I advise you check with them. What was the name of that company? Do you recall?
I sure do. Yeah, we have a trusted partner and underwriter here at FaithFi called Movement Mortgage. And they're a national lender, and they are run by believers and really operated based on biblical values. And not only do they provide nationwide mortgages that are very competitive, which is their primary business, they really use the business as a means to, in part, fund a lot of great ministry work. They've started movement schools around the world to not only provide safe and effective schooling, but also share the love of Christ. And just incredibly generous. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been given to ministry. But they also are specialists in this area of reverse mortgages. So if you want to reach out, I'd be happy to give you a phone number, and then I'll ask you to hold. And if you didn't get it, our team can make sure you get it. But it's 855-970-1084. Again, it's Movement Mortgage, 855-970-1084. And if you hang on the line, our team will make sure you've got that. Here's the key, though, Phyllis. You know, I think reverse mortgages aren't for everyone. We talk a lot about getting out of debt and staying there. And, you know, you may be in a position where you say, listen, I have a conviction, I want to be debt-free. And I'd say, great, do it and don't look back. For some that have gotten into this season of life and, you know, maybe they still have a mortgage and they're struggling to put food on the table and balance the budget because they've got a mortgage and they've got limited income, or others who just, you know, they're right up to the edge and they've got some projects they'd like to do around the house, or maybe they'd like to have a little bit more disposable income just to do some things that they might enjoy in this season of life. Either paying off an existing mortgage with a reverse mortgage where the payment goes away, or having access to a line of credit, or getting an income stream, a monthly check for life, to tap into what is your biggest asset for most folks in this season of life, is an opportunity. Because we look at our financial life and we say, okay, what are all of the assets we have? Well, I've got an IRA and I've got a 401k and I've got a home with a bunch of equity and it got more equity now than I've ever had in that home. And, you know, I've got different things. And so we say, what is the best asset to pull from to meet my needs that align with my values as a Christ follower? And for some, they have limited options and that home equity is the way that they can finally make the budget balance in this season of life. Well, that's where I think it's at least worth considering as a planning tool. Again, it's not for everyone. And yeah, there's a cost. I mean, that balance, because you're not paying a payment, is growing with interest and fees. And there's a fee on the front end, a 2% fee right up front, that's the FHA charge to ensure that you never owe more than the house is worth, so that at your death, there's not a balance after the house is sold. So, you know, there is fees and expenses you just need to be aware of. But if you are going down this road and you believe it's the best option for you, or at least you want to explore it, that's where our friends at movement.com/faith could be a great help to you. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. All right, let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Ron. Go ahead, sir.
Rob, how you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, my question's about the unrealized capital gains tax that's been going around.
Yes.
If you could just, you know, give a brief, you know, what is it? Who is it mainly targeted toward? And, you know, I just wondered if it affects, you know, the average investors, those of us that are, like, you know, in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and things like that.
Yeah, well, obviously it's just being discussed, but it's a disaster. Now, will it affect the average investor? No, absolutely not, because at least what's been talked about is for those households where their assets exceed $100 million. So this is for the ultra wealthy, but it would make our country not a place for investment. I'll talk about it and why I have so many concerns about it after the break. Stay with us.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
This weekend, we'll visit with Dr. Georgia Purdom, a molecular geneticist, about the unique design of men and women and how to avoid the confusion over gender identity.
We are made in the image of God, you know, first and foremost, but every cell is male or female, and it affects who we are.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Well, before the break, we were talking to Ron in North Carolina. He was wondering about what's been floated by the Harris campaign around as a part of her economic plan, the idea that there would be a tax on unrealized gains. It would be a disaster for investment here by the ultra-wealthy business owners and others in the United States, because essentially those taxpayers with wealth above $100 million, which I realize is a very, it's not the masses by any means, but it speaks to the investability, if you will, of the U.S. Because what we'd be talking about here is that essentially unrealized gains, so asset growth, would be taxed. And so the problem with that is folks that have these kinds of unrealized gains, number one, they're unrealized, which just simply means, you know, it would be a nightmare to try to calculate and report on this annually, the market value as of December 31st, but it's unrealized, which means you've not realized the liquidity associated with it. You even haven't even locked in the profit. It's potentially temporary. And in order for businesses to be able to comply with this tax regulation, they may have to become indebted. They may have to borrow the money just to pay the tax. In some cases, they would even be forced to sell the business. Well, how does that promote good business practices and making the United States the place you want to invest? It's obviously something that would be highly out of favor with regard to Congress, and I can't imagine it ever getting passed. But it does speak to just kind of the thought process here that undergirds the economic policy of Vice President Harris. And so something to continue to watch, but I think at the end of the day, it would make us very uncompetitive with regard to the U.S. markets and just our economy as a whole. So not something I'm seeing anyone on either side of the aisle very excited about. Thanks for your call, Ron. We appreciate it. To Oklahoma. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm sorry, I'm tongue-tied.
That's okay.
I have an excess of money, and I am just over-blessed, to be honest with you. My husband has passed, and they're taking out a required minimum deduction every year out of the pension plan that we have. It's Plan B money.
Yes.
And so now I have even more. I have plenty for my, you know, monthly expenses. I have no debt whatsoever. And so I'm pretty simple because he was the money manager, and I have this excess now and don't know what to do with it. So
yes.
I'm talking about $80,000 to $100,000, and it's just sitting in a savings account right now. And I don't know if I should just leave it there. I'm 73, and I just need some suggestions to look into. I'm not even sure what to do.
Yeah. So the $80,000 to $100,000, Donna, has already been pulled out as required minimums, and it's sitting in a taxable savings account. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. And then you're having ongoing required minimums as well, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a couple of thoughts here. I mean, I think this is a great opportunity for you, Donna, to connect with a financial advisor. Do you have somebody that you and your husband worked with, or did he just kind of manage everything himself?
No, he kind of did it. And,
yeah.
I had a little bit of struggle with one company that had some investments in it, and I needed to take it out because of his death. It was just really complicated.
Sure.
And
sure.
So it's bigger than me understanding all of it.
Yeah, got it. Well, I think having somebody that shares your values, that's a trusted advisor, that can walk alongside you is going to be pretty important, just because you need a sounding board. You need somebody to help you think about what to do with it. You don't need anybody to talk you into buying a product or, you know, investing this in a way that you're uncomfortable with. You want somebody who can understand you and where God is taking you, what, you know, his plans are you for this next season of life, and then supporting you with wise counsel in that. Because obviously we need a certain amount there as what I'll call your emergency fund. And in this season of life, it wouldn't be uncommon to say I need as much as, you know, 12 months expenses there in liquid savings, earning interest, but still liquid. But, you know, beyond that, you may decide that in order to make sure you have enough for any long-term care needs you have, that, you know, you take a portion of it and invest it. You may decide you want to increase your giving because you've reached your financial finish line, and therefore you could accelerate some of your charitable giving right now. That would be a unique opportunity with the ongoing required minimums, because given that you're over the age of 70 and a half, you have the opportunity to do something called a qualified charitable distribution, QCD. And basically what that means, Donna, is that you can satisfy that required minimum by giving directly from that account to a charity or your church or American Family Association, wherever you want. It would satisfy your required minimum, but you don't add it to your taxable income. You see, any other withdrawal from that account is going to be added to your taxable income for the year. But if you give it straight to charity, you don't. And you satisfy the required minimum. So it's a wonderful way for folks in your position where they're saying, listen, I've got to take it out because the IRS said I have to, but I don't need the money. And so why not give it away and save on some taxes, or at least not add additional taxes at the same time? That's simple to do. It's called a qualified charitable distribution. But I think having an advisor who could help you think through what is your financial finish line and how much do you need based on your lifestyle, the other assets that you have, and what might be coming down the road, namely, you know, expensive long-term care, if you needed that at some point, in-home care, nursing care, whatever it might be. And then giving you the confidence and even the permission, if you will, to accelerate your giving, or, you know, giving money to family members if you wanted to, because you know that you have a plan that makes sense, I just feel like would give you a lot of peace of mind. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, doing that, is that something they would set up with the advisor or the charitable distribution charity?
Yes.
Amount?
So wherever that IRA is today, it's very easy to start doing a qualified charitable distribution. But what I'm suggesting is that having the advisor walking alongside you where you've built a trusted relationship, and having that advisor speak into kind of what is truly excess for you might give you some confidence to know that, okay, I can give this away and I really don't need this money. I'm fine. I've got enough. And I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not trusting in my things, but at least I've done what's prudent to be that wise and faithful steward. What I would suggest, Donna, is that you go to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and then right there at the top of the page, you can click Find a Professional, and you could get a list of certified Kingdom advisors there in Oklahoma. There's some wonderful CKs. I know a lot of them personally. Interview two or three, find the one that's the best fit, and form that trusted relationship. And it would start with not investment management, but it would start with planning to give you the confidence in where you go from here. Hopefully that helps you, Donna. God bless you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress begins a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians. The Christians at Ephesus, while sincere in their love for Jesus, were facing the pressures of living in a godless culture. How could these young believers remain strong in their faith? Join us for the brand new series, Holy Living in an Unholy World, this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, let's try to get to as many calls as we can. Let's go to Tennessee next and welcome Shirley. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Can
Hi.
You hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I sure can.
Hi. I wanted to ask your help. Maybe you can suggest where I could go or suggest someone I could talk to.
Okay.
I took out my student loans in 1989 when I went to school and signed off on. They promised us that if we made a certain amount of payments at a certain amount that they gave us, we would be paid off in a certain amount of years, right?
Yes.
Well, I've been paying less 20 years. My loan has switched from direct loan to Mohila and then from Mohila to Advantage. Well, while I was with Mohila, COVID happens, and I believe that they have added all that interest onto me, but they wouldn't allow us to pay our loans during COVID. I couldn't even get through to anybody or anything to get the loan paid, and they weren't accepting payments. So they basically forced me to have higher interest. Now, before COVID, I had a lower amount that I was paying on. Now that they've gone up on me and they're charging me interest on top of what I was owed to make my payment even higher. So now that I've switched to a new company, I asked them, well, how much is my total that you guys see that I owe? And they said it was 95, but then last week they changed it to 99. I said, how they do that? She said, we're going to put in an investigation. So now what's going on is I said, well, what would my payment be? And she said it would be 660. And I said, wait a minute, how much goes towards principal? Only $30. In other words, I'm a slave. I'll never pay that loan off. I'll yeah. always be only paying interest. Now, check this out. One more thing. She said to me, that the only way out is to take Biden's plan, and they could lower it to 100 a month, and then after 25 years, it would be over. I'm over 50 now, but the loan would be forgiven, but that I'm not in a situation where my loans can even be forgiven. I said, well, you know, I've taught for many years now, and I've applied 3 times, and because I did not teach English or social studies, there's no way out. So they would not forgive my student loans even back then. So I'm wondering, what can I do? Is there a way to consolidate them with a private company, and maybe we can figure out something to do? What's a good answer?
Yeah, this is a challenging situation, Shirley, and I'm sorry that you've kind of been given the runaround here. Are these federal loans, or are they private currently?
Federal.
Okay.
They're directly there from the government.
Okay. Yeah. And so do you know, have you ever looked into the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program?
I have. Is that where teachers can get theirs forgiven? That's the one that I know about.
Yeah.
Yes. They told me about public service. Yes. Forgiveness. But they told me that the lady said I could get on it, but something about it would only release like maybe 10,000 or whatever. And but she said up to 10,000. But she also told me that yet it's going to be high. And the only way off, she said it 6 times. She thrilled in my head. If Congress passes Biden loan debt relief forgiveness, whatever package, that's when this will come into effect. And wait till November. You know, it was crazy.
No, I get that. Well, here's the thing. What you don't want to do is refinance with a private loan, because you're going to lose your flexible repayment options if you ever need them. You do want to look at the different loan forgiveness programs available for teachers. Now, whether you just take general loan forgiveness with regard to the Biden administration, which I have my own thoughts about that, and that's a whole nother topic. I think you'd have to really think through whether or not you want to take that, and I think that's a conviction matter. But there are programs that have been in place a long time for teachers working in specific schools where you have to have direct loans, like federal loans or Perkins loans, and then you have to qualify at a low-income school. And most full-time public and private elementary and secondary school teachers meet the employment requirements, where you have to make, 120 payments over 10 years. The fact that you had the no payments during COVID doesn't apply here. So as long as you make those 120 qualified payments, then the rest is forgiven. There's also a teacher's loan forgiveness program, which forgives up to 17,000 of your direct, either subsidized or unsubsidized loans after 5 complete and consecutive years of teaching at a qualifying school. And then there's a Perkins loan cancellation. What I would do is go to the U.S. Department of Education website for teachers loan forgiveness programs and just read through them just to see what you might qualify for. And there's going to be links for how you apply for those. I would do that first. The second thing I would do is just get an accounting, have them provide you a history of the account so you can see, where interest was added and wasn't added. The interest during the COVID years should not have been accruing. And so that part of me makes it sound like you're in a private loan, but I would just check that, because if these are truly, public loans during COVID, you should not have any interest that was accruing. And so that's where I think you want to get the accounting for where you stand today. Consolidating, it's not going to help you, because you're going to get an interest rate that's the aggregate of what you already have. So that's just going to simplify things, where you'd have one payment instead of multiple payments for those that have multiple loans, but it doesn't help you with regard to interest. So I think your next steps are a detailed accounting of what happened over the history of the loan to make sure there wasn't something that was done incorrectly. And then second, go to the U.S. Department of Education website and read up on those various loan forgiveness programs to see if any of those apply. And then if we can help you further, don't hesitate to call back. God bless you, Shirley. You got this. I appreciate your call today, though. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Amy. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your podcast faithfully. So,
well, thanks. That's great.
Appreciate you. I just have a quick question. So I'm kind of trying to figure out right now, my budget, And I am contributing to a 401k, but I was wondering whether I could, if I should just stop contributing to a 401k and instead have just 6 months of emergency savings, like saved up first before I do that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Amy. So how much do you have in your emergency fund right now? How many months?
Not even 2 months, but close to 2 months right now.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. And you're not putting anything in the 401k currently?
I am. I'm putting 15% right now.
Oh, wow. That's tremendous. And so are you getting any matching?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm getting like 5%. So.
Okay. But what I'm hearing is, though, that because you're doing the 15%, you're not having anything left over, so you're not able to add to the emergency fund anymore. Is that right?
Yes and no. It's very tight right now, but the good thing is that I am debt free because I paid off my student loan last year. So hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for helping me through that.
Here's where I would go from here. I think it's great. I would absolutely take full advantage of the matching. But beyond the matching, now, if you can dial back other spending so that you can contribute a meaningful amount to your savings, so you're continuing to head towards 6 months' expenses, that would be great. I'd rather you pull it from other places than the 401k if you can find it. You know, maybe there's a subscription you could cancel, or maybe you don't eat out quite as much. I mean, whatever it is. But if truly the thing that's preventing you from really getting your emergency fund up to 6 months in a relatively short period of time is the 401k contributions, I would say dial that back so that you're still getting the full match, but you're not quite doing the 15%. And then when you get up above 3 months expenses, or perhaps close to 6 months, then maybe you turn that back on. But I'd rather you have a fully funded emergency fund at this point in your life than I would you putting the full 15% in the 401k, as long as you're still getting the matching portion. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That actually completely just helps me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Amy. Thanks for calling and for being such a faithful listener. We appreciate it. Well, folks, before we round out the program today, we want to mention something that we're really excited here about at the American Family Association. It's the upcoming Don Wildman documentary. It's right around the corner. And this fall, it's coming out. And I want to take an opportunity for you to hear a trailer of what's coming soon. Take a listen.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
As we started looking for something to watch, every channel had something inappropriate on it.
There was nothing good.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
You know who sells more pornography than anybody else in America?
7-Eleven, your friendly family convenience store.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
He's had an uncanny ability to look down the road and see the impact of things that are happening today.
I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I'm trying to be honest with you.
When you see people live out their faith, you know there's something to it.
One person can make a difference.
Wow, it's going to be incredible. It's called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. It explores the founding of the American Family Association and many of the cultural and spiritual battles that have been defining America's national life over the last 50 years, from primetime television to secular humanism, pornography, and so much more. If you want to check out the full trailer, it's available to you at culturewarrior.movie. That's culturewarrior.movie. And then look forward to the full documentary coming out later this fall. We're so excited about it. Well, folks, thanks for being along with us today. A big thanks to my team today. We're grateful for Sandy and Jim and Devin. Couldn't do it without them. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week. Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.